Welcome to Your Life Reset, a Virta Health podcast where bold stories meet breakthrough ideas. From massive weight loss wins to exploring the latest research, discover what's possible when science meets real life.
Hey there, listeners. It's Teresa Link, and this is Your Life Reset. Today's guest is Dr. Thomas Wimes, a professor at UC Santa Barbara and leading expert in kidney disease and metabolic health. His research focuses on how nutrition can help repair kidney damage and improve overall metabolic health. Last month, new research led by Virta's own Dr. Shamini Athinarayanan showed that a carbohydrate-restricted approach can not only halt the progression of chronic kidney disease in stage 3, but actually reverse it. Dr. Wimes joins us to talk about what this means for patients with chronic kidney disease and the future of kidney care. Well, Dr. Wimes, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me on Your Life Reset.
Great to be here, Teresa. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into some of the research and a recent study that was just published, can you tell us a little bit about your background? You know, what led you to study kidney disease and metabolic health?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I'm a professor at the University of California in Santa Barbara. So I've been here for like 20 years or so. Before that, I was actually at the Cleveland Clinic. That was my first faculty position. And that's actually where we started to work on polycystic kidney disease. And, you know, I brought my lab over to, you know, come back to California. And we continued the work here. Yeah, so we've been working on polycystic kidney disease for like 25 years-ish or so. And, you know, sort of like very globally interested in kidney disease diseases and mechanisms. So I run a busy research lab here at the university. We're doing a lot of mechanistic studies, but always with an eye on trying to find, you know, therapeutic approaches. And I'm also aware of second hat, also the president and chief scientific officer of a company that we launched out of the university. It's called Santa Barbara Nutrients. And in that company, we're essentially translating those, you know, basic research findings into clinical practice. So we have what's called a medical food that's already available, and we have a nutritional intervention program that's actually a little bit similar in its idea as a Virta program, but specifically meant for kidney disease.
Very exciting to hear about that. Very exciting. Thank you so much for telling us about your background. Now, for listeners who maybe are not familiar, you had mentioned a lot of work with polycystic kidney disease. Today, specifically talking more about chronic kidney disease and, you know, the power of nutritional intervention there. So what exactly is chronic kidney disease?
Yeah, good question. So in layman's term, people just usually say kidney disease, you know, and it usually means chronic kidney disease. So it's a, you know, slowly progressing form of essentially losing kidney function over time, which obviously that's not a good thing. If somebody lost their kidney function, they will have to be on dialysis for the rest of their life or hope to get a kidney transplant. And unfortunately, chronic kidney disease is very, very common. In the US, it affects about 14% of the population. So it's a huge number. It's actually more common than cancer, more common than cardiovascular disease, you know, like stroke and heart attack, more common than type 2 diabetes even. So kidney disease is actually the number one non-communicable disease out there. And many people with chronic kidney disease don't actually know that they have it. It's you know, known as a silent disease. You know, initially, does not really cause any noticeable symptoms. So someone with chronic kidney disease wouldn't know that they have it oftentimes until, you know, very late in the game, you know, until their kidneys are about to fail. And sometimes they just get diagnosed essentially in the emergency room, you know, if they, and that's where it gets caught. And then, of course, it's essentially too late to do anything about it. So that's very important, is early intervention.
You mentioned that some of the symptoms you might have, you may not even notice those until it's very, very progressed? What might some of those symptoms be?
Yeah, so so it's actually fairly easy to diagnose chronic kidney disease based on labs. But if somebody routinely goes to their doctor and has their labs taken, it's actually part of the standard labs is what's called the creatinine value. It's one of the markers of kidney function, and it often gets converted to a value called the estimated glomerular filtration rate, or the EGFR. And that will tell the doctor, hey, you know, you're at 60% kidney function. We have to do something about it. But if somebody never goes to the doctor, never has their labs taken, you would miss that, right? You wouldn't see it. And, you know, the kidneys, even if they function at, let's say, 30%, they function good enough that there essentially are no symptoms. But if it goes, you know, below that, then that's when symptoms kick in. Oftentimes it's just high blood pressure, you know, so a patient might have chronic hypertension. But oftentimes, you know, if they don't go to the doctor, don't have it addressed, they also wouldn't know about it. And, you know, it does happen that somebody goes all the way to kidney failure, and that's when all hell breaks loose. And it's like numerous symptoms. You know, people start fainting, they're losing all their energy, they have a pain, you know, there's a characteristic itch on the skin, for example, that can be, you know, very strong. So those are some of the symptoms. And sometimes somebody just ends up in the emergency room, has no idea what they have, and then they're diagnosed.
Interesting. Yeah, I think if you ask the average person, they might think, well, my kidneys would hurt, or maybe kidney stones.
Yeah, right? Right. Yeah, it's not that the kidneys hurt, right? Exactly. That would almost be a good thing, you know, if they start hurting, so that somebody actually gets, you know, an early diagnosis. But that doesn't happen. Yeah. So these are all very non-specific symptoms that could happen due to a thousand other reasons. So you wouldn't necessarily guess, you know, oh, I must have kidney disease, let me do something about it.
You know, what are some of the most common other diseases that could potentially lead to chronic kidney disease that we tend to find?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. So chronic kidney disease is the vast majority of cases are really caused by poor metabolic health. And that's something that you know all about. So that usually means, you know, if somebody is, you know, going towards type 2 diabetes, or they has type 2 diabetes, that is the greatest risk factor for chronic kidney disease. And that has to do with, you know, essentially the blood sugar being detrimental to the kidneys, you know, to the little blood vessels in there. But also the high blood pressure can impact the kidneys. And, you know, there's many other mechanisms that all negatively impact the kidneys and hurt the kidneys. That includes things like uric acid. That's one of the waste products that the kidneys have to clear. That's something we have been studying in my lab. So there are many mechanisms that lead to chronic kidney disease, but they essentially are all caused by poor metabolic health, which in turn, of course, is caused by nutrition and lifestyle. You know, our Western, you know, standard American diet essentially really predisposes people to not only get type 2 diabetes, but then also chronic kidney disease.
Gotcha. So this is not something that just pops up. This is something that has been brewing for some time, right? With other factors in poor metabolic health. You know, so many folks with type 2 diabetes have been told by their medical provider, you know, we need to make sure we're protecting your kidneys as well. I'm not sure that everyone really knows why that is, right? But the damage from the high blood sugar, and also you mentioned the damage from the high blood pressure, all of that symptomatic of metabolic disease, all really playing a big role into the damage of the kidneys over time is what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, diabetes has many. So if someone has type 2 diabetes, they don't die of their diabetes, right? So they will have other complications that cause all these terrible effects, you know, and I'm pretty sure everyone with diabetes has it at the forefront of their mind that, you know, they might lose a foot, for example, right? So there are amputations, and that's also caused due to blood vessel damage, you know, by the high blood sugar, or blindness is very common. in people with diabetes, and those are very visible things, so to speak. Right? So if somebody loses a foot due to the diabetes, you know, everyone knows about it. But most patients kind of overlook the kidneys, right? So even though that is actually the most common complication and the most common, essentially life-threatening complication of type 2 diabetes. So I would urge everyone to pay a little bit of attention to their kidneys and their kidney function and have that well monitored all the time and actually do something about it.
And as you'd mentioned, this all being a symptom of poor metabolic health, and what we do know, there's a lot can be done with lifestyle to address metabolic disease at the root. But tell us about this recent study. It looked at more than 1,500 people with chronic kidney disease following a carbohydrate-restricted approach. And then what I had learned was one of the most striking findings was that kidney function didn't just stabilize, but it actually improved. So help us understand what that means for patients with kidney disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So this, I think, is a really important study, and I cannot take any credit for it. So all the work was actually done by your people, you know, at Virta Health. So the idea is, you know, at Virta, of course, you're focusing on reversing type 2 diabetes, right? So essentially all of the clients that go for the Virta program, they have type 2 diabetes. They go for the program. It's an intensive nutritional program focused on lowering carbohydrate intake, right? So the sugars and the starches. That's what happens in our standard American diet, you know, with the very, very high carbohydrate intake. That's what's causing all the damage, leading to type 2 diabetes, chronic kidney disease, and so on. And most doctors out there are actually of the opinion that diabetes is irreversible. Right? So they're thinking it's just a relentlessly progressive disease. Maybe you can slow it down a little bit, but you can never stop it, let alone, you know, reverse it, which obviously is completely incorrect. You can reverse it. Not really. You cannot do it with pharmacotherapy. So there is not a pill you can give anyone and say, now your diabetes is reversed. You can do it by taking away the initial problem, the root cause of the problem, you know, and which is the nutrition and lifestyle. And that can be done by carbohydrate restriction, a ketogenic nutritional intervention, essentially. So that's very important that Virta can do it. You're spreading the word and you're doing studies. But as a side effect, it turned out, you know, of course, many patients with type 2 diabetes that have gone through the Virta program, many of those patients already had chronic kidney disease, right? So just as a natural byproduct of having diabetes. So the question was, how did those patients do? Right? And again, if you ask the average doctor, especially the kidney doctors, right? Should I put a patient with kidney disease on a ketogenic diet? I would say 9 out of 10 would say they would run away and they would say, no way, right? You're going to kill all these kidneys,
right?
Which is not founded in science or any studies. You know, it's just somehow the assumption. I don't honestly know where it really comes from. So now the big question came, all right, so Virta has treated so many folks with diabetes, including folks that happen to have chronic kidney disease, you know, in their program. If we listen to 9 out of 10 kidney doctors, you know, all those people's kidneys should have failed much faster, right? So that was kind of the task at hand. Take a look at those people. And so this was a work done primarily by Sharmini. Sharmini is amazing. She's a biostatistician. She really knows how to crunch numbers, large data sets, and she essentially filtered out all the patients that have gone through the Virta program and had stage 3 chronic kidney disease. So stage 3 is kind of middle of the road chronic kidney disease. So there's already very significant functional impairment of the kidneys. But we're not yet talking end-stage kidney disease. So those folks are still, you know, some time away from actually kidney failure. But there's already significant deterioration of kidney function. So Sharmini looked at all of these patients and looked at their kidney outcomes, you know, as they were going through the Werther program with a two-year follow-up. So we have 2 years worth of data for a very large patient set. And as you mentioned, it's over 1,500 patients with chronic kidney disease, stage three. And so the big question now is, you know, do they all rapidly lose their kidney function or does something else happen? And of course, the answer is, you know, not surprising to me, but probably surprising to most kidney doctors is that the patients did better in the two-year follow-up. Not only do we slow the progression of chronic kidney disease or stabilize it, we actually see an increase in kidney function. So essentially a reversal of chronic kidney disease. And that is something that is unheard of with just medication. And so most kidney doctors, you know, they're used to prescribing drugs to their patients and they know that it's essentially not working in the sense of, you know, they only can achieve a slowing of the progression. But reversing chronic kidney disease is not typically in the cards. And here we have it. And as a side effect, almost, but unintentionally, the Werther program actually reverses chronic kidney disease. And it's not a small study. You know, it's 1,500 patients. And it's not a short-term study. We're talking about 2 years, two-year follow-up. So this is probably the largest study of this kind ever done, which to me is that's amazing that I was able to be part of it and helped out just a little bit. And in addition to reversing kidney function, you know, which is measured by this, this parameter that I mentioned earlier, the EGFR, the estimated glomerular filtration rate, in addition to improving that, the study also looked at what's called albuminuria or proteinuria, you can call it, you know, where essentially protein from the blood leaks into the urine, and that's can be easily measured, and that's also a standard measure where people can get diagnosed with kidney function. So in those patients with albuminuria, at the beginning of the intervention, there was a statistically significant decrease in albuminuria, meaning improvement over time, that also persisted throughout the 2 years. So again, an amazing outcome. Albuminuria usually indicates a certain degree of kidney damage. And that's, again, due to the high blood sugar damaging the microvessels in the kidney. Kidney function improves. The kidney damage gets better. The best case scenario. So we're looking at improvements on both of those fronts. Yeah, so that was, you know, to me, not surprising because, you know, we have seen the same in animal studies. We see the same in polycystic kidney disease. But it is great to see this in such a large study you know, with such a huge data set, long-term follow-up.
Absolutely. And as you've mentioned, it's so common that you said potentially 9 out of 10, you know, kidney doctors might say, oh, never, ever go on a ketogenic diet if you've got kidney disease or even anything remotely similar to that. And as a dietitian, I also was taught that, right? You know, oh no, that is the opposite of what you need. Instead, you know, that's too much protein, too much salt. You should be eating, you know, you should really be going lower on your protein. You know, even when I worked in the hospital, we would put our patients with chronic kidney disease on low protein diets, you know, drastically reduce their salt, give them a handout of everything that they could no longer eat, right? It was just, and it was contrary to many other diets that they felt like they were, you know, supposed to be following, when really this is all coming down to metabolic disease that we can get to at the root, you know, as you mentioned. There are a lot of people out there that really still do believe that you know, you need healthy eating for kidneys is low protein, low salt. So how would you say that these findings really challenge that traditional advice?
Yeah. Yeah. So as you said, you know, so there are only three macronutrients, right? So there's protein, there's carbohydrates, there's fat. And it's kind of a triangle. But if you restrict one, you kind of have to bump up, you know, one or the other. Otherwise, the person doesn't get any calories into them. And traditionally, for kidney patients, protein has been restricted, right? So they're being told, oh, limit your protein intake. And of course, everybody, every doctor wants to limit fat intake, you know, because they're thinking it increases cardiovascular risk. So what's left over is the carbs, the carbohydrates. So it means if you restrict someone's protein and someone's fat, that means your carbohydrate intake has to go through the roof and it gets higher and higher and higher. And I think that is completely backwards, especially for someone with kidney disease, because what is actually damaging to the kidneys is not the protein, it's not the fat, it is the carbohydrates, right? So the old-fashioned dogma type of kidney diet actually worsens, if anything, worsens kidney disease. So it's been always puzzling to me because, you know, there's nothing unknown about it, but we all know what's causing chronic kidney disease. The therapy out there with regard to nutritional advice is just completely backwards, right? So it actually worsens things. I don't know how it has gotten like that, how that's even possible. But I think as, you know, in the nephrology space, we have been restricting the wrong macronutrient, right? Instead of restricting protein, we should really be restricting the carbs and the carbohydrates. So hopefully the study will provide a little bit of clarity. I doubt it will, because, you know, there will always be a lot of criticism. You know, this is sort of a retrospective analysis. So what doctors like to see is a prospective, you know, a placebo-controlled type of clinical trial that's done to drug standards without them realizing that...
Which, you know, we know is very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do with nutrition, yeah, right?
Exactly right.
Otherwise, we would do it all the time.
Exactly right. And, you know, people don't remember that there is not a placebo for food, right? So they think, oh, you've got to have this placebo control. But what is a placebo for food, right? You cannot blind people to what they're eating. Everybody knows what they're putting in their mouth and what they're cooking at home. So you can never do an FDA phase 3 type of trial with a nutritional intervention. That's just physically impossible. Yeah, so that's why, unfortunately, it will take time, I think, to convince everyone that this is the way to go. But, you know, I think the outcomes speak for themselves. And, you know, there's actually another study we're working on with our friends at Verda, a much, much larger one, even with much larger patients, outpatient outcomes. So that should blow everything else out of the water that has ever been published before. And I think the outcomes are just like what we see in this study, which is already a large study.
So exciting. So it sounds like there's a lot of excitement for the future in this particular area. So what gives you the most excitement, the most hope about the future of nutritional therapy for kidney disease?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm completely convinced that it's working. You know, a carbohydrate restricted approach is really the way to go. We have seen it and we see it also for polycystic kidney disease, you know, which is a genetic form of chronic kidney disease. Same result. You know, we've already published clinical studies, many preclinical studies as well, you know, and we always see the same result. But as soon as you restrict the carbohydrates, especially if you do it on a very low carbohydrate diet, you know, a ketogenic diet with a whole body metabolism switches over to using ketones instead of blood glucose, that's when you get the most profound effects. I know it's working. I know it's very effective. It's, you know, just a matter of, and I think it will have a huge impact. You know, if you think of chronic kidney disease affecting 14% of the U.S. population, we're talking, you know, 40 million people or something like that, but in the U.S. alone, and, you know, hundreds of millions worldwide. So the impact we can make is just gigantic. And that's where I'm very optimistic for the future, that it will be clear to everyone eventually that this is the path forward. It's also very accessible, right? So you don't need expensive medications that may not be even available in many parts of the world. Anyone can change their diet, right? So you can be poor, you can be rich. You can live in any country in the world, you know, you can always restrict your carbohydrates, right? So there's nobody is forcing you to eat the pasta and the pizza dough and the bread and the grains and the fruit and so on. So it's up to, it's in everyone's power to restrict those and get rid of them out of their diet.
That is such a wonderful message of hope. And hope that I have for my profession in nutrition and dietetics, clinical dietetics that I used to work in a while back. Well, they would be able to walk into a patient's room in a hospital, and rather than having five different sheets about what you should and should not be eating that all contradict each other, you know, one's for heart disease, one is for blood pressure, one's for diabetes, one is for IBS, one is for kidney disease, right? They're all the same. They're all, we're focusing on the one type of nutritional approach that's going to help all of these things because they're all falling under metabolic disease. Maybe not IBS, but that's a different conversation. That's a different podcast. So that gives me a lot of hope too. So we'll close things out with some rapid fire questions from you, Dr. Wimes. So don't think too hard about it. Just whatever comes straight to your head, I want to hear from you. What is one myth about kidney disease that drives you nuts? You just wish it would go away for good.
I think it's for the protein myth that we've already talked about, you know, that is just on everyone's mind. Oh, hey, you have kidney disease, let's restrict your protein, right? And then all
right.
Bad things happen. You know, people get their muscles waste away, and actually life expectancy goes down if that happens. So I think a lot of damage is done.
And so it's a harmful one as well. Drives you nuts, but it's also very harmful. You know, the hope that over time, the tides will change a little bit with this. Now, if you weren't studying kidneys, what area of science would you be diving into?
Yeah, well, I must say, so we only stumbled on the whole metabolic health angle in kidney disease in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, or 5 than 10, actually. But I really think, you know, the more I've learned about it, the more I think that is where the action is right now. That's where the most impact can be done. So I would, you know, even in hindsight, you know, if I could talk to myself 20 years ago, I would have said, hey, Thomas, look at metabolic health and look at what a ketogenic diet is and that kind of thing. We could have had, you know, a lot of headway already. If I had known about all of this much earlier. That's exciting. It doesn't have to be kidneys because the same approach essentially is beneficial for essentially all of the chronic diseases out there. And that means, you know, about 90%+ of the healthcare expenditure in the US is due to chronic diseases. If we can cut that down, we'll all be much better off.
Last question for you, Dr. Wimes. What is one simple thing that everyone could do starting today to help improve their kidney health?
So I would say, can I say two simple things? Because they're actually simple. One
sure.
is increase hydration. So drink more water. And that has to do with any number of reasons that we're also studying in the lab where you essentially dilute the urine. Continuously, and that can be very protective to the kidneys. Number two, stop drinking sugary sodas, which is essentially the same thing, right? So you want to drink more fluid, but it shouldn't be sodas. It should be water or something that just doesn't contain any sugar. So that is a simple thing to just switch over. And it, you know, it's more of a habit thing, you know, especially in America, people are so used to, you know, popping a can of soda every hour. And, you know, before you know it, you have hundreds and hundreds of grams of sugar in your body that you didn't need, that your body doesn't need, that are just essentially empty calories that have absolutely no benefit, but that can be very detrimental to metabolic health and kidney disease.
Very good place that most people can start. One change, sugary beverages, especially, as you said, sugary sodas, a great place that people can really address something that is really that low-hanging fruit. So, Dr. Wimes, it was such a pleasure to have you on. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you for a very long time. So thank you again so much for being here. I also really look forward to seeing what additional work that you do in metabolic health, not just with kidneys, but in this whole area. So I can't wait to see what's to come.
Super. Thank you, Teresa. Great questions. Thank you for that.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. And if you'd like to regain control of your metabolic health and feel like yourself again, check us out at virta.com. That's VIRTA.com. Your Life Reset is for informational purposes only and shouldn't be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Contact your provider if you suspect you have a medical problem. I'll chat with you all again soon. Until then, stay inspired, my friends.